Well, I desire your prayers. I'd like for us to think tonight about the Holy Spirit. I am convinced that we need the Holy Spirit. There has been, I think, the devil's taken advantage and in many ways made the idea of having the Holy Ghost a negative thought. There are those that believe different things about the Holy Spirit and its functions and what it does. I don't think there's any plan of God that takes away our choice to live for Him. I think we will start out serving God because we want to, and I think we'll end up in heaven because we want to. I believe that it ain't not just that we want to, but as Brother Clifford Wilson said, you can go to heaven if you want to more than anything else in this earth. You can go if you want to. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need what He came to do. The Scripture says that He can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. Well, I can ask and think a lot of things. But it's according to the power that worketh in you. I've heard Brother Clifford Cole say at different times, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He won't make you do anything. He's to be desired. His power is limitless. He is able to perform the office that He has. But it's up to us to want Him, to desire Him. Went to a, well, I've traveled the country around. We have a habit, it's kind of well known, those that know us well, my family, they laugh about it. We'll plan to leave. We most almost always will leave early. Sometimes a day early, some day half a day early, sometimes an hour early, but we have a habit of it. We get ready, so we'll be ready, and then we can't stand it to be ready and not going. So we'll say we're going to leave in the morning, and then we leave the night before. But if we say we're going to leave in the night, we almost always leave in the afternoon before. So I catch people off guard sometimes. Remember going to Oklahoma City one time, I told Sister Maxine, we ought to be in at a certain time, about 4 o'clock, best I remember. We got there at noon. She went to the door and she come and, oh, she said. Found out that it's not a good habit to be late. It's not a good habit to always be late. But I'm going to tell you, it's not a good habit to be early all the time either. She, you said 4. We're home, folks, I said. We're home, folks. But she did that because she was welcoming. She was wanting to welcome us. She was wanting, and she wanted us to feel that welcome. And she was preparing the welcome. She wanted us to come in and everything's right. She wanted our room to be right. She was putting some pictures and she was doing some things because she wanted us there. Not only did she want us there, she wanted us, when we left, she wanted us to come back. She wanted us to be comfortable while we was there. She wanted us to feel the comfort of that. That's the way you should do the Holy Spirit. You should welcome Him. You should make for Him. You should make it around for Him. You should desire Him. I feel like tonight, if the Lord had His total way in this service, by the end of this service, everyone in here would be saying, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to cater to the Spirit of God. I need Him. I want Him. He's what's going to give me victory in life. It's how I'm going to be happy while I'm getting victory. It's going to be the power of my life. I need the Holy Ghost. I need it for my contentment in this life. I need what He come to do, what He comes to offer. I need it. It's a part of God's plan. Jesus isn't here in the flesh. He sent His Spirit to do this job. This is the dispensation of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And He wants us to invite Him and to make Him welcome. Lord, You are forever welcome in my heart. Now, it wouldn't be a strange thing if I had somebody special coming to the house, for instance. I might get out a few pictures I know they like, or if somebody, I know they like certain meals I haven't done for me all the time. They make it. They'll make a space. I know you like this meal. They'll make that meal. They'll set certain things there. I know you like this kind of thing. And they do that because they're welcoming. I want the Lord Spirit to be welcome. Feel welcome and have a dwelling place in my life. So Lord, help us tonight to look a little bit at what the Holy Ghost does and what He's about in our life. And I want to start with the sixth chapter of Genesis. In the first verse, it says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. You know, I labored years over that scripture looking at it. It seemed like that scripture was so out of place. The third verse. It's all talking about the people multiplying and getting together, and then all of a sudden just seemed like out of the blue the Lord just said that. But it's really all together in the context of this. In that time, I believe it to be this way. I wouldn't argue it, but I believe it to be this way. I believe in the day that He's talking about here, after Adam and Eve had been in the creation, born, made of God, they walked in the Garden of Eden with God. Have you ever really thought about that? When they was put out of the garden, He didn't erase the memories. The experience of God was in these people. And that influenced their children. Not only did sin influence them, but the relationship of that cool of the evening experience with God was in Adam and Eve. So much so that the understandings that they had, I believe, would be profound in them of what they knew and understood, and they was made pure. And what do you, I mean, I believe it's different than having this kind of mind that we have. They was made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, in the purity of God. They walked with the Lord. You commune with the Lord. What would you say if you had that opportunity? They was communing. That means that they were sharing and relating and getting and gaining of, doesn't it? What did they talk about? What did they know of the universe, of creation, of things? What did they know? Must have known a lot, I would imagine. But there come a time that they was put out, and if you'll notice in the scriptures, that in the first generation, they begin to make sacrifice. Well, how did they know that? But they did. They knew some things, and right off, they knew, and they begin to make sacrifice back unto the Lord. And there was beginning to be two different sides. Cain came in, and he destroyed Abel, and he was cast out, there's two different cultures, two different peoples. There's two different societies. And it came down, and when they begin to multiply, and I believe the side that after Abel, I believe it was Seth, and the side that went down, and that's simply, I believe all this is talking about, the sons of God. Somebody said one time that that was some aliens, and another one said it was angelic beings, and all. No, it wasn't. No, I don't believe any of that. I believe that this was the righteous seed from Adam. This was the ones that followed that they understood from the garden and the ways of God and holiness and righteousness, and they sought to get back to that kind of a place, and they lived the best they could, sacrificing under the conscience of a man. It wasn't the law. There was no law. There was a law of the conscience, and their understandings was enlightened to God, and they was there, and Adam and Eve's influences was still on them from that experience. And Cain, if you follow his path, they begin to take more than one wife, and they begin to be makers of instruments, and that's I believe means they was reveling, and they was indulged in lustful things, and they followed the way of the flesh. And so it comes down to this time in history. And he comments on it and says, when they begin to multiply now, that the sons of God looked at the daughters of men. So the cultures are rubbing shoulders, and no doubt they would say, there was probably common knowledge, my son, don't go over there, don't take that. That's a defiling way. It's away from God. That's a sinful way. But there come a time that men said in their hearts that we're not going to follow the way of the Lord. Or maybe not totally like that, but believe they begin to reach out to the baser elements of life. They looked, and I believe that in that day, you give me this liberty, but I believe that by the understandings that they had in them, that they were from the beginnings, that the sons of men had a sense of modesty and of decency, and their women were modest and decent and plain. And I believe that the other side were more of the loose and the harlots and the ones that made themselves up, and the sons of men, or the sons of God, looked unto the daughters of men. They were beautiful. They were beautiful. They were desiring. They were attractive. There was a draw to it. And God looked at that, and when this happened, this is what this is talking about. This is happening. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, they gave themselves to something less than God. And that's the place now that God is dealing with in the third verse. And the third verse says this. And the Lord said, because of this now, they was going this direction. But from this point of decision, I don't know how many years or time, but from this point of decision, God saw that and knew it would be short-lived for man. The influence of that was going to destroy man totally. And God knew it by the third verse of this chapter. This was going to bring men to the inevitable end with their Creator. And so this is what he says. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also his flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. God had, this was a warning. This was a testimony of God that he knew the end. But yet, he was going to allow his spirit to dwell and work and deal and try to convince and try to change and try to alter, because there is no other avenue to change the carnal mind except for the Spirit of God. There is no way to enlighten the carnal mind, to be able to bring truth to it. There is no avenue for you and I to be able to think in righteous terms, in holy terms, to be able to get to that kind of place, to be able to do what God would have us do. There is no avenue at all unless there's the Spirit of God working and manipulating and teaching and bringing to those places through the experiences of life, through the desires of our heart to be better, the desires of our heart to turn away from sin. That's destroy. I hate sin. To hate sin, to get away from it. And God And God is saying he knows that. And he said, because of that, I'll give them 120 years respite. Even though he knew they're doomed. They're done unless they turn. And my spirit is able to do that. There's nothing they can do. They've went away from the pure mind, the pure heart. They've went away from that. And they have purposely chosen, instead of holiness, instead of the desire for God, the sons of man purposely in their heart look to the flesh. They chose that, and God is saying the only hope that you have to convert from that stage is if my spirit. But he said it will not always strive with men. I'll give it 120 years to work. In that 120 years, figure it out you want to, however you want to figure it. In 120 years, from the time these men did this, 120 years, there was almost no thought of right left. Their carnal mind had deteriorated their life until there was almost no thought of decency left in the mind, in the heart. No real desire for right and holiness was left. But yet there was a thread. There was a thread that left, that came all the way from the garden down through. And there was one man that the Lord looked down in. And in his day, he was a righteous man. And he loved the Lord and he cared for God. And it was one man that when God looked on all of them down in on the earth, there was one man. One man that still lived for God. 120 years and the whole creation had departed. And the scripture says of that time that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. They were so flesh bent, so wanting the bad things that they only considered it always. They never had a consideration for things of holiness and righteousness. But Noah, I'm going to tell you, Noah stayed through all of that. He stayed. Thank God that he did. Because it says that Noah, do you know he judged the world? If one man can do it, all men can do it. And by it, Noah judged the world. Do you know when it comes to the end of this, folks, I'm going to tell you, you may say it's too hard or it's too tough a time or whatever it says, but if one man dares do it, it'll condemn every one of us. If one man rises above in his day, in his time, by the Spirit of God, if he raises above, no matter what hardship he has, whether it's affliction, whether it's persecution, whether it's hardship, no matter what it is, do you know if that man stays true to God, he'll condemn all of us. If one man can do it, all can do it. And by the Spirit of God, we all can do it. Every one of us can do it. We need the Holy Ghost. We need a begging Lord. I know you said you won't always strive with man, but Lord, strive with us. Strive with us. Deal with us. Work with us, Lord. As Noah did in his generation, let me be a Noah. Lord, deal with me. Work with me. Help me to be true to you. Noah was in tune enough with the Spirit of God that when the Spirit of the Lord came and said, Noah, I want you to build me a ship. He was in tune enough. The influence from the garden was still there enough for him to be able to say, there's God. There's God in whom I'm served. There's the Holy One. There's the Creator of the earth. Just like my daddy, just like come down through the history, just like our fathers Abraham, or our father Adam told us from the garden, there's the one, the great I am. Do you know they understood that? But I'm convinced that Adam knew that he was the great I am. Is there another God to walk in the cool evening with? No, only the self-existent one. And did it? You don't think Brother Ed, would you have asked him if you was in the cool of the evening, are you the only one? Wouldn't you have asked him something? Wouldn't you have asked him, what is this all about? Where did you come from? I know where I come from. You made me. Where did you come from? You don't think the Lord probably told him in the cool of the evening? I know I'm supposing. But I'd ask him. And I think he'd have answered too. I think he had to give understanding. We need the Holy Ghost. We're a long ways from the days of Noah. Or are we? Folks, look at our world. Look at the world around us. And you wonder sometimes about the turning away. Did you know? I want this to be in our minds. God was driving with them. That is something to think about. For 120 years, the opportunity was there to understand. Because he said, I will strive with, I will for 120 years. I will stay, I will deal, I will strive. Do you know that he tried to prick their consciences when they done wrong? Do you know he was there to work and deal and try to make things the way they ought to be for 120 years? And in spite of it, men turned away because they did not want it anymore. Because the flesh had risen up so much in their life that they could only think about evil things all the time. Sounds a little familiar to the day and time that we live in today. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. And we can say, Lord, help us as a nation. Surely. Help us as a state. Yes. Help us as a county and a local district. Help us as a town. Help us as a congregation. But I'm going to tell you, it always comes down to the same thing. Help me. Help me as a person that wants to serve you. And I'm going to tell you, oh, Noah stood it himself. Yeah, he had some sons there, but he was the man. No, he was the one that was left. Help me in my day and time to appreciate that Spirit that came to work with us and deal with us. Make him welcome. Make him welcome. Over in the 16th chapter of John, I'll go back to read it a little bit. Seventh verse. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Folks, this is part of the plan. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judge. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, we all like the idea of that. I've always noticed all my life, some people always like that, the thought of knowing something that's going to come. People make their predictions, and people always will prick up their ears. There was a guy who was at some Nostradamus, or what was that? No, I didn't get that name right. But somebody that was centuries ago made predictions out that, and they're always pulling this guy's name up that he knew something. And people love that kind of stuff. Tell them what's going to happen. Tell them what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. But the Lord knows what's going to happen. And the Lord is privileged to be able to teach his people things. When it's to their good, he leads them that way. He helps them to be able to face the future. Sometimes the Lord has prepared us by his Spirit over and over and over again. Prepared us by his Spirit to face the things that's ahead of us. Didn't even know what he was doing until I got to there. And the Lord had already been there to prepare the way. The Spirit of the Lord came in. And that's what guiding means. To lead, to guide through is more than just say, come on and come this way. But the real idea is to come and you take this out of the way, or you put this in the way, or you put a step up here if you need to lead on as a father would a child. He takes them through the steps and do that. That's what God wants to do with you and I. We need the Holy Ghost. Because to be honest with you, I'm not very smart. I don't have to be with the Holy Ghost. I don't have to be. He smartens us up. He smartens us up. He teaches us. We make good decisions through the Holy Ghost. We know things through the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you that the Lord has allowed me to understand many things in the Scripture by the Holy Ghost. The Lord also has let me, simply through the Holy Ghost, somebody would say, did you know what this Scripture means? And they'd tell me, from a time I was saved by the Holy Ghost, the Lord kept me from things. I've had people say, hey, this Scripture, and I'd be, the Holy Ghost was saying, no, no. I couldn't have argued it. I couldn't have said anything. But the Spirit was saying, reject that, reject that. That's not truth. It's not truth. It's not holiness. It's not righteousness. It's not right. It'll lead you astray. Don't do it. No. Well, wait. I don't know how to argue it, but it don't sound right. It's not right. Because the Spirit of God, leading and guiding. Now let me tell you what the Spirit is by telling you what it's not. In our world today is very warped. Do you know that it is a good quality to be sensitive? Lord, help us to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, to right things and to righteous things. There is a lot of sensitivity in the world. To dogs. There is movements out there that puts, now there is, that puts animals way above people. And they're sensitive to their feelings. There's people that wants to give them rights. Give them rights and do that. That's sensitivity. But there's a warpness in that. I remember this come up at the same time. There was an argument on abortion. A debate. A man had attacked his girlfriend who was pregnant at the time and killed the child in her. He beat her up. The child died. The child was then born dead. And there was an assault case against this man. And the prosecutor wanted to prosecute him for murder. And they hollered foul. You can't charge a man with murder when there was nobody alive. The debate started going whether there was life or whether there wasn't. I know what you Holy Ghost people are thinking. That's ridiculous. So they ended up ruling that he couldn't be charged for murder because nobody died. Because you have to be born to live and nobody died. So they got him, not even for manslaughter, they got him for assault against the woman. At the same time, there was a case in Colorado where a man shot a doe deer and killed it, and it had twin fawns in it. And he paid triple damage costs for the deer. That's what it's not. That's what it's not. The world is sensitive about a lot of things. It's sensitive about the way we treat one another and what we will accept of one another. It's very sensitive about that. Of what it says, you've got to be tolerant of one another. The trouble is that they accept the unrighteousness of it. We're to love everybody. The Holy Ghost says that. The Holy Ghost gives us the feelings of that. And we love and have compassion for the souls of men and for people's lives and for those things. But without the Holy Ghost, a world goes astray on the sensitivities. That's good. But without the Holy Ghost, there's no direction of that. That's exactly what happened in the day of Noah. All of those human qualities from creation was in people. But they begin to use it wrong. Love is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It becomes warped until there's an idea of same-sex marriage. Those kind of things. It's totally warped. That's what it's not. The Holy Ghost is not witnessed by demonstrations of those. The Holy Ghost is witnessed by holiness. Holiness is the top top witness of the Holy Ghost. Holiness in a person's life. Power to live right, to do right, to overcome problems in life, to be able to face the hardest things in life with the right grace and the right spirit and still be godly no matter what happens to you. That's the Holy Ghost. That's what he came for. That's what he came through. He said he'd lead and guide you into all truth. I'll give you a scriptural example. The scripture says that corrupt manners, oh, got the scripture wrong. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So that means that evil people will affect you in your life. So let's not even talk to them. Let's stay away from them. Let's do that. Well, are they corrupt yet? I mean, so what do we do without the Holy Ghost? You come up with all kinds of stuff. That's why there is so many different interpretations of everything. The Holy Ghost has only got one good interpretation. We need him though. We need him when we go through these scriptures. We need the Word of God backed by the Holy Ghost to teach us where it is. I know that the Lord meant more than that. What the Lord meant was don't involve yourself in their ways. Don't go their way. But he didn't tell us not to be around them. He didn't tell us not to be a good example to them. He didn't. But when you line it all up, then the Lord comes along and says, greater is he that is in you than is in them. Yeah, sure, you can contact by my grace and by my spirit. You can go in there and witness to them and help them to change and be different. That's what the Holy Ghost is, you see. That's what we want him to do in our lives. I don't know all the answers to the scriptures, and sometimes... Yes, I have. I'll just have to tell you. I've kind of went this way, and maybe you haven't, but maybe I don't know. Should I say this? But I have. In scriptures, in my conviction, I went this way a little bit in my life. Been saved 25 years, and I've been real strong here, and the Lord kind of pulled me over here sometimes. I'll never do that. And all of a sudden, well, maybe I am. I'm wandering back and forth. The Lord working with me in honesty. If you're honest, you will too. So I've been strong and rigid in things, and the Lord said no. No, 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 no. Mellow on that. Mellow on that. You win the soul, you mellow. Mellow. I don't know how to do it. And you know there's other things that I was real mellow on. And you know what the Lord come and said? Sticking that thing up. It's going to destroy you. If you don't, that'll ruin your family. And me standing there thinking, what? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to go that way. And do you know even the dictates of that can be a little cultural, or it can be a little environmental, or you have to move around a little bit different times in life? Isn't God changing his mind? And isn't the Word changing? It's the dictates of the Holy Spirit in your personal life to lead and guide you. You need him. You need the Holy Ghost tonight. You need the Spirit of God firmly in your life to lead and to guide you, to help you to understand, to know. How should I do this, Lord? What's the answer to my problems? He's gracious. It's what he came to do. To lead and to guide. I marvel at the scriptures. Jesus had 3.5 years with his disciples and did not really get down and explain to them about the Gentiles coming in. Now I always read those scriptures and said, now if I'd have been the Lord, I'd have got Peter up real tight and said, Peter, I want you to understand something. I'm gonna die for everybody. Now listen. I know how you are, and I know how the Jews are, and I'm telling you, I died for everybody, so when this thing comes to fruition, you know this. They're a part of this too, and they're going to get the Holy Ghost. Do you know the Lord didn't bother himself with all that at all? But you know what he did? He committed the dispensation to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you why he did it. Because the dynamics of salvation is you can know it if you love it. That's why. He didn't put everything black and white about how to do that. You know, sometimes in my nature, I was wanting to say, Lord, just spell it out. Why didn't you just say, uncomplicate this thing? Because he wants us to love him and be led of the Spirit of God. Because it's moving and it's alive and it's active and it works and thou shalt don't do it. He wants you to love him.
Desire Him. And not be wrong from the outside, be right from the inside out. Have the right spirit in there, because it's the spirit that gives life. The spirit, it gives life. And so, you look at the scriptures, people has argued with me before over doctrinal points and said, the Lord didn't say it at all. I want red letter why you believe what you do. Forget it, brother. He committed it to the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. That's what he did. He gave certain principles of it, and then he gave it to Holy Ghost-filled men. To give us the examples of it, but that wasn't all he did, because he still didn't explain it out. He just gave us examples of it. Then he left it to his great spirit. Yes. Thank God that he did. What a way. We don't have to have it second-handed. We don't have to hide about this. I can know it for myself. I appreciate, folks. I'm going to tell you what it's about. The instruction book. You know what it's about? Oh, people always hollering about rules and laws and do this and do that. Give it to me, Lord. That's why it works. That's why it works. I want it, Lord. I want it. I want it. And that's why it works. If you want it that way, it's not about all that. I'm going to tell you what the scripture is about. It's about me wanting it and being able to find it. That's what it's about. Lord, I want to be right. And boy, I'm telling you, it'll come on like light bulbs. It's there. It absolutely is there. If you want to serve God, you want to be successful, you want to go to heaven, you want to be what He wants you to be, it's there. And you can know it's there and know that it's right. And then I'm going to tell you what happens when you get it for yourself. It's like that old blind man. The Lord come along and healed the blind man, and they come along behind him and tried to say, he didn't heal you. And come and say, now you, this man's a sinner, and we all know it. So we want you to confess that. It's like that. People come and trying to argue about what's right and wrong, and you don't have to have a big defense about it. You just know. And like he said, the blind man said, in my words, it's like, I don't know about all what you're saying. Then he testified, but this is what I know. I know this. I was blind, and now I see. You can do anything else you want with the rest of it, but one thing you will never take away from me, never, ever, ever take away from me, I was blind, and now I see, and God gave me my sight, and you can argue and debate and think philosophies and argue about all that, but I can see, thank God, I can see. And that's what the experience of the Holy Ghost is. I can see. I can see. And you don't do it if you don't want to do it. I actually heard a preacher one time. He jumped up as quick as his flesh, and he run to that altar, and he got up here to the pulpit. He run up there, and he said, brethren, it's on me so much, I just could not keep my seat. Why don't you turn around and go back to your seat and try it again? Because the Holy Ghost is not like that. You got it in you, yeah. But I'm going to tell you, he's the spirit of the prophet. Is subject to the prophet. There is no place that the Holy Ghost is in our life to force us that we have to do anything. No. I would have said it different. Brother, the Holy Ghost is pulling me so hard. I got to get up here and teach. Or I say, God, it's pushing me so much, I'm coming. Because the Lord burdens, the Lord leads. Or I say, the Lord, this is my time. The Lord leading in that. That's what he is. That's what he is. And the Lord committed this day to the Holy Ghost. There's other things in scriptures. People talk about blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. I think that's overcomplicated and misunderstood. It's as simple as this to me. There's only one way to do it. When you don't do it this way, there is no other. And when you turn this down, When you turn this down, absolutely, you turn this down, there ain't no other way to be saved. You can't come to God. You know, the days of Noah, there was no avenue left to them if they didn't go the way God, the Spirit of God led. How are you going to be saved? They said the same terms with the Lord, with the sacrifice of the Lord. And he was, and basically people misunderstand that, but this is simply what this means. It meant that the Lord came and died for you, and if you don't accept that he done that, there ain't another Messiah coming. There's no one. And when he says you can't be saved in those kind of language, really what it was meaning, if you don't accept the way that was made, what can you do? There is no other avenue. If the Holy Ghost is the way to bring you to God, and you say, I am not going, if the only way to town for you is my van, and you say, I ain't riding in it, you don't go. And that's what this is talking about. There's a plan, folks, and it's through the Holy Spirit. And it's through Him bringing to us what we need and us understanding it with our hearts and desiring it. He brings to us holiness. And when we say, I don't want that, that's where He departs. When we say, I'm not willing to go that way, there's where we've shunned Him. There's where we've put Him back. When we don't make the habitation for Him, that's where we do it. We say, why ain't the Holy Ghost leading here? Why ain't we understanding some things? Because we don't have the habitation right. There's a term for the Holy Ghost. It says, don't, y'all help me out. It wasn't reject. Grieve. Don't grieve Him. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. How do you grieve the Spirit of God? Well, to me, it's pretty simple. You take away contrary to Him. You don't follow the leadings. You don't desire Him. You grieve Him in that. But oh, how powerful is the Holy Spirit. Oh, sometimes in this world, they want great demonstration. But let's get away from that just a minute here. Because there is demonstration in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can do some things. He can tell us the future. He can do those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you something. Forget the demonstration a little bit and think about what really is being demonstrated. Those that have lived true in our life are those that's been able at death, giving their lives to the Lord, been able to say, Amen, Lord. By the Holy Ghost. Amen. I will take that way. To be able to live through the times of their life through persecution, though it be hot and hard, and they're still filled with the Holy Ghost. Stephen was a man that was being stoned to death. I love that scripture because he was giving it to him straight. Says he was full of the Holy Ghost. You can look at those words sometimes and says, oh, there's the Holy Ghost. It was a Holy Ghost man. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he was preaching the word to those people, and that's what they needed to hear. Because there was a young man named Saul in the crowd, and God was going to use him, and he used Stephen first. And he was full of the Holy Ghost, and he obeyed and was faithful unto death with the Holy Ghost. Folks, we need the Holy Ghost. What's tomorrow hold for you? You don't know, do you? What's next week going to be like? Anybody in here dare say you're not going to get a terminal disease in the next year, 2 years? What? We need the Holy Ghost to lead and to guide us, to help us. The world's warped. Got all kind of different sensitivities about all kind of things. They're sensitive about the nature. They're sensitive about nature. They're sensitive about spotted owls. And green spotted newts. They're sensitive about the way storms work. They're sensitive about things going on. They're sensitive about a lot of things. But they're not sensitive about right living, righteousness. They're not sensitive about what holds families together. They're not sensitive about what makes people really happy and fulfilled in life. They're not sensitive about anything that's wholesome and good. But the Holy Ghost is. And right here in this old evil time, that's what we need. I heard a story recently
woman in a foreign country, was in a Muslim country. I'm thinking she was a Christian, but it could have been for something else. I don't remember exactly. But they poured acid on her face. I think it was because she dared to show her face. She's supposed to have a veil on. And they took acid and poured it on her face, and it eat her face off. It made a horrible looking thing. The man was prosecuted. And the law is that an eye for an eye. And this woman got the privilege of having the acid to pour on his face. Now turned around. Now it's your turn. You know what she did? She forgave him. She put down the acid and she forgave him. That's Holy Ghost work. That's what he came to do. That's the demonstration that we're looking for. That's what we want. Lord, lead me to something that's bigger than I am. I don't have the ability to do away with bitternesses and things. And when they hurt and hurt my family or hurt me and hurt those that I love around me, I'm not big enough. I'm not big enough. I need your spirit. Jesus demonstrated it. See, Jesus wasn't given the spirit by portion. He didn't have it by measure. He had his fullness. And he hung on the cross. And the spirit in him said, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That was the Holy Ghost. And that's the way the Holy Ghost will be true to his office. He will perform the same way. The same spirit that strove with the early generations, that tried to convince them of sin, tried to reprove them of unrighteousness, that's the same one that's working the same thing in us today. We live in a time that we are desperate to have the Holy Ghost in our lives. Because if we don't, folks, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be misguided by the sensitivities of this world. And before long, you're going to think you're righteous and you're in the right place. And you're going to be totally off base. And you're going to be gone. Lord, help us. I want to look at one more scripture. It's in Ephesians 6. We better back up even more. 10th, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's right. Because the Holy Ghost is the one that can fight against these things. Not only that, but we'll lose track of what we're fighting for. If we're not careful, we'll lose track of what we're fighting. If we're not careful, we'll fight with one another instead of the principality. I've seen it all the time. I've seen it right after a good meeting and the Lord laying out, and then people get completely mad. And I'm saying, well, did you not hear the message? I don't even understand. It was all so clear. This is what, and people fighting one another instead of fighting the principality. We need the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's going to come and say, wrong way. Wrong way. I think it's more than just the one-time shot, though. I think it's a daily thing of entertaining him and having him in our lives. And entreating him and asking him and asking him to help us. It says, wherefore take you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I want to say this, what is truth? That's where the Holy Ghost comes in.
I know I'm supposed to have the truth, but how do I know it? The Holy Ghost. Take righteousness. I know that. But what is righteousness? That's the work of the Holy Ghost in this day. So he says to take on these things. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yeah, I'm supposed to do something, but what? Work of the Holy Ghost. Lord, the Holy Ghost has led people to what they're supposed to do and why they're supposed to do it. And the timing's right and the work's right and the blessing's right. We need a spirit. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Lord, help us with our faith. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Several years ago, I got into a place in my ministry and what I was preaching. And there was some around saying, not me, they wasn't saying it me particularly, but there was some around saying, you can't preach yet. No, you can't preach yet. No, I can't preach yet. Though I got in my mind, I was starting to listen, and I was getting into my mind, what can I preach in? Tell me what I can preach and what I can't preach. And I was wrestling around with that, and I was struggling with that, and I was praying about it. And during that time, right there at the time, I wasn't reading my Bible, but there at the time, the Lord spoke to me. And this is what he spoke to me. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what you're going to preach. And oh, I'm telling you, that enlightened me and it freed me. I'm cut loose today. I'm cut loose today because I'm going to tell you, it's the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. You let a man get all carnal and fleshy and he'll start swinging that sword and he'll be cutting people's heads off and cutting their feet off and cutting them down and doing all that. But the Lord don't misstroke that thing. It's the sword of His Spirit. And He divides it right. When we're under His authority, under the Holy Ghost, the Word of God will cut right. And it'll put places in it, things in its perspective in its right place. I'll say it this way. Some may look at, you may have an issue about wearing earrings, for instance. That's an issue. Well, what does the word? Well, one man take it and say, you can't have an ear. The temptation be too strong. You just gotta cut your ears off. The next person that say, don't make a bit of difference to nobody. You can do whatever you want to. But the Holy Ghost will cut that thing right. It'll cut away from fanaticism. It'll cut away from compromise. It'll be right down, dead, set down the will of God. And it'll be a blessing and it'll hold through the generations. It'll be right for everybody. You can raise your family on it. You can teach it to your friends and your neighbors. And it'll be solemn and wholesome and it'll be to their salvation. Because it's the sword of His Spirit. And folks, I'm telling you, whether you're a preacher or you're just somebody that loves the Lord and wants to talk about Him, you want to reach out to people, you want to hand out a tract, you want to be quiet and just let your life, it doesn't matter. It's all Holy Ghost stuff. Because we don't have the ability to accomplish anything without Him. We're dead and dry and we've nothing. We don't have big bands to back up on. We don't have, we don't have learned preachers. We don't have people that have everything in order. We don't have anything really carnal or fleshly to back on. What are we depending on? Brother Salmon said one time, well, I'll tell you this, when the Spirit's not in our service, we're one pathetic people. And there were several amens on that too. We're dependent on the Holy Ghost because we're looking for the anointing and the power and the blessing of holy things and of right things. We want the heart of sinners stirred. We want those to reach for sanctification, to be more, to want more, to have more. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost wants. He wants us to surrender ourselves. That is the power of it. The power of it is when we give ourselves to it. And allow the Lord, give Him the right of way of our life. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It goes down through the ages to those that want more. Give yourself to the Lord and allow Him to fill your heart, fill your life. And you'll be successful in 2011. And happy and at peace with God. In a time where people don't even believe that the Lord, and the imagination of the thoughts of their hearts is getting, it's almost evil continually. The world's going away from God. Our nation definitely going away from God. The Lord help us tonight. I pray that everyone in here have a thought in their heart. Give me more of your Spirit, Lord. Give me your Spirit. Help me to have that guiding in my life. The leadership of your sweet Spirit. And I say sweet, leading gently, bringing on a whisper, a longing, a desire, a pull, a soft pull. Come. I see the Lord as being that way. A gentleman, soft spoken. You want to hear Him? Listen then for Him. And you'll hear Him quietly. He speaks in the nights. And He works in that way. You pray for me. Yeah.